Show.
It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. It's Mark Husson. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour, coming to you live on 12radio.com. And it's also, it's May 20th, 2024. Welcome if you're new to the show. I hope you can join us in the chat room. We have a lot to talk about. This is an amazing cycle. This week is crazy. Because I'm telling you, you're going to feel shifts. This is going to help you understand astrology. This is going to help you connect to other people. This is what it's all about. Because it is in, we're experiencing the sign of understanding, the sign of communication. And I'm talking about the zodiac sign. So come on over, go to 12radio.com, click the chat link on the left-hand side. And when you do, you will be gently brought over to the Facebook page where my colleague, friend, and extraordinary psychic Jay Varvel has put up the banner for us to enjoy. And if you scroll down that banner, you click the comments, you can see the comments, you can participate in the comments. You don't have to, but we would love it if you did. And you can also just read them, be a lurker, like what I used to do forever. still don't like participating a lot in the social media things. The reason we do this here is because it's free, number one. Number two, they do kind of protect you because it's a private group. So if you haven't been here before, you have to sort of ask to be brought in. And of course, we'll let you. But then it's not like when you're posting here, it's not showing up all over the place that you're posting. It's basically a private room in that sense. And when you come to that room and you click the comment section, and then you got to make sure there's a place to hit all comments so that you can basically see everybody. You will see Quelly in the house at the top of the page. Hi, Quelly. Welcome. Terry Campbell's here. She has a link to the Moody Blues Gemini Dream. Terry's a music aficionado and a Gemini and a psychic advisor at 12listen.com. Welcome, Terry. Thank you. Hi, Renee. Welcome. Lynn's in the house. Glad to be here with you. She says, we're glad you're here, Lynn. It's good to be with you. Truly's in the house. Hi, Truly. Thank you for coming here. She says, I hate how it changes your name to something cool or trendier. It's an M-A-R-C. I should have, I do love the French culture. I should have just switched it. But thank you, Truly. It's never a problem. Renee, thanks for being here. Penny's in the house. Laura's in the house. Julie's in the house. Good. Thank goodness for longer days. I'm back to joining while on my walk. Oh, that's so nice. Thanks, Julie, for taking me with you. It's good to have you. You guys, it is a week. I am telling you, and it has been a week. A lot of you followed my fun story last week. A lot of you commented of the room switch that John and I did that sounded like, oh, big deal. So you switched rooms. And it was so gigantic. Like I told you, movers, the whole bit. It was like insane to actually reacquaint yourself to a new locale and to sort of, and it's so weird how quickly you adjust, right? Because your framed reality is shifted because it's like, I always call it, it's a different ceiling that I'm looking at when I fall asleep or when I wake up. Because when I was young at my grandma's home, when I would spend the night there, which I loved doing, I remember staring at the ceiling. And staring at the ceiling and the little, plaster roughness and counting them and just playing with them. And then being, and whenever I would be somewhere new, spending the night, I'm a Cancer. Like, I don't do a lot of spending the night out. It's like home is important. I would cozy up to the ceiling. And so when people tell me they've moved or something, I always go, you're waking up to a new ceiling. And that's what it's like. It's like I see it's a new ceiling when I wake up and the dogs have adjusted. I made them a little gate like a little fake gate. It's a little like a garden gate, sort of to keep them in and to get a little more control over them being able to just romp out into the backyard. So yeah, we're adjusting. And I don't think it hurts that the sun entered Gemini this morning while many of you were sleeping. Hopefully, maybe, or some of you got up early. I was certainly up. But you can feel that change. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Because if you can really grasp the Gemini change, you can basically watch this evolution as we leave the thick, more sturdy, more unwilling to change sign of Taurus, and we enter this sort of mutable, flexible world of Gemini. And so, you know, so you're going to notice, like, we're sort of, you're going to notice lightness. I want to tell you that. Now, a lot of you are more heavy, and I want to talk to you about Geminis, because if everybody thinks Geminis are just these twinkling little fireflies, you've got another thing to figure out. And get ready, Geminis. I got to pick on Taurus all last month. You're getting picked on, so you have to deal with it. But you're also going to get praise a little, maybe tiny bit here and there. So the way it works, so for those of you that haven't heard this a million times, you basically follow the order of the zodiac with Aries, always the first one. The first day of spring is Aries. And then 30 days later, we're in Taurus for stability. And then we enter Gemini, which is now the flexible sign, the mutable sign. That's what mutable means. So there's four mutable signs. There's four signs that help us in the transition to a new season. Gemini helps us from spring into summer. And so you expect the people that are those signs. And if you have a preponderance of Gemini in your chart, that, and I'll explain how to look for the, like, what does that mean? You have a lot of planets in Gemini, or you have a lot of planets next to Mercury. If your moon is in Gemini, if your sun's in Gemini, your rising is in Gemini, all those things count to explain this sort of mutability. And so let's start with just what happens, like the mythology structuring Gemini up a little bit, so we can get a feel for who they are. Because everyone knows a Gemini, everyone's had their heart broken by a Gemini, and everybody has had rage and a bit of formidable ire aimed at them. So why? What is up with that sign? We're going to talk about it. Here it is. Okay, so first of all, it's like any mutable sign, there's a dualism. And that includes for Gemini, for Virgo, for Sagittarius, for Pisces. There's always two issues at play. And I want you to pay attention to the brilliance of the zodiac, in the sense that if you haven't noticed, you can notice now that all of the air signs, Aquarius, Libra, Gemini, are represented in some human form or an inanimate object. Like, there's no animal, no crustacean. It's just human. The water bearer, the twins, and then the inanimate scales, but often held by a person, right? But it's really important to notice that, because what you're dealing with here is an orientation in the mind. These are the signs that really would rather have a head than a body, and that they live up there. They like being up in that head. They like figuring it out. They like having the information come in a more rational way. Now, in the myth, Gemini is usually, you pick any twin myth. Castor and Pollux isn't often a good one, because one of the children of Zeus here, one was mortal and one was immortal, and they loved each other. They were warriors, etc. They were very close. But when one died, who do you think died, the mortal or the immortal? The mortal kid dies, and Pollux prays to Zeus and says, please, please don't take him away from me. So Zeus granted them the privilege of one being in the realm of heaven and one being in the realm of earth. This is really important, because if you know a Gemini, or wherever you have Gemini in your chart, you are struggling with the part of you that is feels divine and feels ethereal and feels the ability to play in the dream world, and the other part. It's very similar to Sagittarius, who dwells in the divine and who hates the mortal part of themselves. The difference is the element. One is air, one is fire. Sagittarius is fire, so that's going to deal with quests for truth and inspiration. Gemini, it's just a quest to get out of the ordinary. And so it's not, and it could be by thinking. It could be, they could be interested in anything. And you'll notice the curiosity in Gemini. They could talk to anybody. And the difference between Sag and Gemini is Geminis actually listen. No offense, Sag. Yeah, offense was meant, I think. Geminis, like Sagittarians, if you'll notice, are chatterboxes, right? Typically, they like to tell you what's going on. They like to inspire you. They just want to keep feeling that fire. Geminis will listen. They want the communication. They want the exchange. They want to be able to talk to you. Wherever you have Gemini in your chart, you're going to see that need for the exchange. I need communication. If it's in your seventh house of relationship, you're going to be wanting to talk to that person. So the sun entered Gemini this morning at like 5 a.m. And I'll tell you what. The day that a planet changes signs does what? It sort of makes you feel a little wonky and a little like, ooh, okay. But as the day goes on and as the week goes on and as the next 30 days go on, you're going to open up and you're going to see this part of you, this dualistic part of you. Wherever this sun is right now in your chart is where Gemini is. And so we're going to see how you deal with interpreting and making connections within that area of your life. So if you know Geminis, if you know any Geminis, one thing you know about them is their gift of gab. They know how to talk. They know how to get out of anything. They know how to make stuff up. They know how to, one day you're hearing this from them and the next day it's this. Now, Geminis, you all may not see this in yourself. But if you know a Gemini, we all see it in you. This is the part where I have a Gemini friend I've known for years and years and years and years. A lot of years. And I'm telling you, that man, you just tend not to believe anything in the moment. It's like, yeah, this is fun. But it's not like everything they say is a lie. It's like you're really clear. You get really clear really fast that tomorrow is going to look a little different for them than it does for you if you're not an air sign as well. So the reality changes. It's not that they're not doing it deliberately. They have the hardest time in the world fighting that. Like they have a hard time even themselves capturing where their reality was yesterday. So with my Gemini friends, we have this thing called for now, which means no matter what they say, no matter what it is, we always tack on for now. So I'm going to quit smoking for now. I'm so happy about life. I feel good. I feel lucky. And we always tack on for now. Because you know, sooner or later, the curse and what happens in relationships with these guys is the next time you talk to them, that happy-go-lucky person is now the earthbound caster who doesn't know why they exist and is actually angry, snappish, a little like, okay, you can get away from me now. And that can be a little daunting for those of you that aren't expecting it. So what do you do with that? Well, one of the things you do is you start learning how to quit investing so much requirement onto people. I mean, okay, so someone's in a great mood and they want to go travel the world with you and they want to do all these things with you. Have the wherewithal to go for now. Okay, like in this moment. Think about, like, it's that thing where if you need a Gemini, I want you to picture air trying to grab air and trying to get air to go where you want it to go. Picture that. Now, you can grab water. You can grab earth. You can even move fire around a little bit, but try to grab air. It's hard. So when they're happy, it's contagious. It's fun. You had a great time. But what are they teaching us? How to be in the now, for now. Being real in this moment, having fun in this moment. But let me tell you something, give up the plans for the future. Because you don't know, if you try to control that, you're bound to lose it. The minute you squeeze your fist around air, you missed it. It's like trying to grab a fly. Now, does that mean they aren't meaning what they're saying? No. One thing it could tell you is that if they said it, it's a truth for them in there somewhere. And guess what? It'll reemerge. It comes around. So when we're doing life, one of the lessons that each sign has great lessons to teach us, right? And I think Gemini's big lesson is the moment. Be in the moment as much as possible. Don't plan the future. Don't think you can control the future. But if you're happy right now, be happy. Don't go, oh, I wish this never goes away, which is the immediate reason it goes away. Like, I'm having such a good time, I don't ever want it to end. Well, you just ended it. And I do this all the time. Like, oh, the anticipation of the ending is the killer for me. I remember watching the We Are the World special where all the pop stars got together. And, you know, Diana Ross just is, I love her. I just love her. I love everything about her. She hits that place where people in our lives hit. And I know you all have people like that where you think of them and go, oh, that voice, that fucking voice. Oh, sorry. And for me, hearing her, there was a calmness. And when I moved to Denver, she had made The Wiz. And I know my friends hate me to this day, but I couldn't stop crying. Now, I was in my 20s, late 20s, never left home. My dad let me take this car that he said, yeah, go ahead, take the rabbit. But you have to put oil in it every day. Like, what? So, a gift and a curse, right? I'm not lying to you. We get to restaurants and I couldn't turn the car off because if you turned it off, it wouldn't start back up unless it cooled down, which could take hours. So we let it run. And everybody was tolerant with me, but we had, and ironically, the person I was coming with had a rabbit, but a manual, not an automatic. So here I'm in this car, you can't turn off, and we're, you know, coming cross country, and I'm a wreck. I just left everyone I knew and loved. And we land in Colorado, and I am literally a wreck. And all I have is Diana Ross. When I think of home, I think of a place where there's love overflowing. Oh, and she sings it. And there's this moment where she just reaches the depths of her soul to, if you're listening, God, please help me know if it's real. It's so amazing. So, and I would cry and play that song and cry. I just couldn't stop grieving. But that's a Cancer. And I knew at the time I had my training in psych, let it go all the way. Like keep, like just, it'll end somewhere, but you'd be sad. And so I was watching We Are the World and I was thinking Diana Ross, because she, at the end, everybody went home and she said, I don't want this to end. I don't want this to be over. And it was so moving and so real because you get that feeling like it is over. And the minute you say that to yourself, I don't ever want this to end, you kind of plopped out of it. And I do think it's a hidden defense mechanism for us not to feel it so deeply. Like preparations, just like Scorpios, we talk about Scorpios have buried everyone they love in their mind 1,000 times. They've been to the funerals, even themselves. Guarantee it. Every Scorpio, you know, if they have a preponderance of Scorpio in their chart, they have buried people they love and seen the death over and over. Because why? They're trying to mitigate the absolute devastation of when it really happens, if it really ever has to happen. And so in this sort of moment of Gemini, we're sort of watching change. And Geminis have this reality where, and if you have, like, remember, if you have a moon rising sun, your sun's really close to Mercury, which many of you are, you have this understanding that I'm in this great place and I don't want it to go away. But tomorrow, it's going to look a little different. Now, if you have any close Gemini friends, and I have so many, my Venus is in Gemini, and wherever your Venus is, you tend to have those people around you. You tend to like them. It's like, fine. And so I have a lot of them and I see them all. Like I never, and it took me a while, but I never get attached to where they're located, both physically and emotionally, mentally. I never get attached. I know tomorrow's a different day. I know tomorrow that it might be a different song, but I have one friend that gushes emotional. Like when they are waxing emotionally, I am just, they're sending love vibes and it's kindness and like how much I appreciate you. And I know if I blink, it's going to go away. And it does. Okay. I'm going to check on you guys in the chat room and see how you're doing. If you're just joining in, take a look at 12listen.com and click the chat link and you'll find us. You can come over and read these with me. And so let's see who we got. Christine Dumarier. Christine Dumarier is in the house. Hi, Christine. It's so good to have you here. Christine is another advisor over at 12listen.com. Extraordinary advisor. Welcome to the show. Hi, Carrie. Pamela Snow's in the house. So happy to be here. Hope this week will bring good things. I think it's going to, Pamela. Nadine, thank you. Big walrus hugs back to you. Hi, Karen Erickson. How you doing? Lori Love's in the house. Hi, Lori. With a Mark waving, picture of Mark waving, Mark Wahlberg, but Mindy's in the house. I'm excited to listen this morning. Thank you, Mindy. Welcome. Jackie Walsh, good morning. So happy to be here. Hoping everyone is feeling healthy, wealthy, and wise. Thank you, Jackie. Good to have you here. Alicia, good morning. Ascendant with Moon in Gemini. Stability is something I want, but in reality, I do well with change no matter how emotionally I feel. Right on, Alicia. It's good. Gemini is a great thing to have in your chart if change is something that we, you know we're going to face. Happy birth week to me, says Morina. Hey, 524, many moons ago. You get Gemini, quick wit. Happy birthday, sweetheart. Let's see. Yeah, Alicia put a for now video up there. Like, just add for now to anything we say, right? Jennifer is in the house. Jennifer Lakshmi, thank you so much for being here. Jennifer is also an extraordinary advisor at 12listen. We have such an extraordinary team. I hope you'll tell the world, spread the word, help these guys be found and discovered for what they do. They did not get here from any small feat. It's a gauntlet. Julie, what if you have Gemini in the 12th? You mentioned it's where you want to talk. I'm a vivid dreamer. Oh, you nailed it, Julie. That's exactly right. If you have it in the 12th, also 12th house people tend to project that and they tend to have talky people around them. See if that's a reality for you. Hi, Jennifer Vanderberg. Love you too. Thank you so much. Of course, Morini says, of course, for now. We know the world's constantly changing. Of course, for now, says the Gemini. Karen, love song to Gemini. Will you still love me tomorrow? The answer is no. Let me just set that straight. Maybe the day after. Joni, thank you for the great insight regarding Geminis. Just fabulous. Oh, Joni, I'm so glad it means something. So Maureen's son is in the 12th. You guys with 12th house sons, yes, vivid dreams. You do well. You probably thinkers. You probably really have a good connection to your subconscious minds. But that 12th house does often project its value onto other people. So you all be sure to take a look and see if the people around you are a bit chatty. Pamela, yes. And us Scorpios have picked out the flowers for the funeral. Oh my God, it is so true. It is so true. That is so good. Oh. Okay, so see how we cope? We cope by, we know ourselves, so we prepare. Geminis know that they're fickle. They know that there's a part of them that today they're saying these lovely things and they're really feeling them in the moment. But they know. Even for them, the magic is going to go. So guess what happens? The dark side emerges. And for Gemini, even, it's not a fun place. You think Geminis enjoy being crabby, like thinking the world's against them? It borders on paranoia, because the very thing that a Gemini can become is where what you said 3 days ago is sticking with them and they can't get over it. I mean, my Gemini friends, it is so fun. They have an ability to flip things of reality into what fits their narrative. I mean, I know a lot of people have that, but if you have Gemini, you're really able to do that. And so it's almost like, how did you magically do that? So, but I've learned, I have a friend that, the same friend I mentioned earlier, he said he was all proud about something that I was like, I know I told him that. Y'all ever do that? You know, someone comes back to you with an insight and you know it's a direct quote from you. What? And so I, this time, instead of just shutting up about it, I said something. I told you that like 3 weeks ago we were da 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 da. And that man flipped it so easily into my ego, my pride, my, and it was great. It was brilliant. All of it was true. It was all those things for me, but totally got off the hook about lying about it and ignoring me, but because, by making it about me. That's an example of the darker side, and I don't care. I mean, really, it's not a, to me, it's sort of, I get a kick these days out of it. It used to mean something because I used to think I had some investment, like, I don't know why it mattered. I think age is so helpful sometimes. It slows you down, but it also slows you down from overreacting. And so that's an example of Gemini's battle for, don't bring me down any further. I will get out of this thing. And so when you're with your Gemini, if you have a Gemini that you're with, and we're going to talk about why we need to know all these things, because this is all changing this week. If whatever Gemini you're with, if you know one, like, you can say, how do you feel? But I would never lean in with all my attention and say, so how are you really feeling? That's nails on a chalkboard. That's nails on a chalkboard to me, much less to a Gemini. It's like, let them flit around a little bit, please. Let them have a little fun. Let them be who they are. But that is one of the sources of heartache for people, is when you're unconscious, when you're with a Gemini who's twinkly and fun, but they're relatively unconscious, it does feel like a player, right? You feel like you're with a player, right? And so But you have to understand where you've laid trust, where you've laid a foundation of, like, you're into your life and you're doing your thing. That air flows right back all the time, to the point where you're like, okay, I thought you'd flow out the door. And when do you flow out? So it is truly like you become the magnet when you're less interested. Now, I wrote in my book, Love Scopes. That's not a plug, because no, you know, you've either bought it already or it sort of sank into oblivion. There was one thing about the ways to get a Gemini to divorce you. I think it was one of the topics. And it's sort of say to them, we'll talk about it later. That gets me every time, because it's true. If you know somebody with strong Gemini and you go, I don't want to talk about it, it's kind of tough. Okay. Now, the other thing that's really interesting, because they need the connection, that you're sort of destroying the one thing that they makes them feel normal, and that's to have the connection. And I mean that in all sincerity. They're not, they, if you just be, that's why they're able to be so interested in everything and anything. The connection is so vital to them. You could talk about, I mean, and that's the joy for me of Gemini, is like things that I don't think anybody want to know, not personal so much, but boring. And they're like, oh, well, you could do this and you could do this. And sometimes it's even, they're more interested than me. And then it's like, oh God, please, can we stop talking about this? But that's one thing to know. The connection is everything. And so where you have Gemini in your chart, the connection is everything. And so you got to find out where that is. For me, it's my eighth house. I have Venus there. And so the connection, getting below, I remember even as a young therapist, throwing the spaghetti against the wall with ideas like it could be this that made you angry. It could be this that makes you angry. Or maybe it was this. And I realized that's my south node is also in Gemini, which means you got to give up the chatter part. You got to get into the part that's like, if you have some true wisdom, share it. If you don't, be willing to say, I don't know. But I wasn't in my early days. I wasn't willing to not know. There is a bit of Leo at the top of the chart, but mostly it was just wanting to be useful, wanting to find where that useful plug was. Now, this week, the sun is in Gemini today. It's going to be there for 30 days. Venus is at the very end of Taurus. Mercury is at the very end of Taurus. But get this, so is Jupiter. And this week, Jupiter Saturday enters Gemini. It is gigantic. Yes, Jupiter is too. But this event is big because Jupiter's leaving Taurus after a year, and now it's entering this communicative sign, this sign that also has a lot of surprises, this sign that also doesn't always tell the truth, this sign that also has a hard time, well, I should say has a difficult relationship with the truth, and has ideas, brimming with ideas, loves surprises, and here's the most important thing, can talk to anybody. The true diplomats of the zodiac, the true diplomats of the zodiac are Geminis because of their ability to meet you where you are and their willingness to do that. And that's the difference between Sag and Gemini. Another difference, they're opposites of the zodiac. They both are mutable, but what makes them different is the difference between fire and air. Gemini is air, Sagittarius is fire. Sages need to be inspired. Geminis want to be connected. Sag doesn't care about connection to you. They care about the connection to their divine self. That's why they look like they have such bigger egos. And they do. No offense, Sag. Well, offense meant if you took it that way. But you definitely like yourselves a lot more than Geminis do. Typically. Now, if you happen to have a strong Jupiter in your chart, that'll change too. But now, Jupiter and Gemini, I don't want to lose where I'm going here, but I do want, I know that there's a bunch of posts have been made, and I want to just connect with you guys. It sort of grounds me a little to connect with where you are and see how y'all are doing and then answer any questions. And then we'll continue with Jupiter and Gemini because that's where... That's what this is all about. This is a big one coming up. This is so big. And there is also a full moon coming up. So we have that to cover. I'm going to do that all with you. I promise. Okay. Venus conjunct Mars in Gemini, says Nora. Multiple personalities? Venus? No. Well, maybe. Whenever you have Venus and Mars together, this person is truly kind of androgynous in a way, but they're not just androgynous in a physical sense, even though you don't have to. I mean, it could be emotionally androgynous, which means you really understand both of the male and the female sides of yourself and therefore others, but also the ability to talk to anybody, to be relationship with anybody, and this nonstop energy. If I don't doubt you have multiple personalities, but I do think the ability to multitask just gets tripled with that as well. Marina, we are our own twin. Attachment of others is not great for us. Okay, but you got to remember the twins were also separated. One got to be the earthly twin, one got to be the heavenly twin, and they don't always get along. And in terms of, they don't see the world the same way. So you, the observer, gets to say, oh, I'm going to identify with the earthly twin today, and it might look depressing, and it might feel a little heavy, but it is important to be in there with that earthly twin and draw in the power of the divine twin, sort of keep having them meet at the heart. The biggest thing for Gemini is having these two pieces connect together. Geminis do love being in relationship. It's just being able to pick the right kind of person that allows them that sort of freedom to be free and to be able to communicate and is very communicative personally. Now, it's sun in the 12th, I understand. I'm going on. wanting to be alone and not seeing the need for relationship. But remember, connection is everything. And maybe in the 12th, it's a connection to your personal self, your higher self. Terry Campbell, part of the Gemini road to understanding who what they are, in her humble opinion, comes through stages of expression.
Yeah, it's kind of like the idea that the truth is a process. It's not like there is not one truth. It's a process of communication.
It's talking it through to the other side. Karen sending kisses and hugs back at you, Karen. Thank you. Hey, Lynn, you nailed it with my Gemini friends, Mark. Of course, I've killed off. Oops. I mean, imagine my people. Yeah, I know the Scorpio thing. I got you right on, Lynn. I love that. Charlene, a Pisces here who was raised 100% Gemini family. Interesting to say the least. No doubt. No doubt. All that mutability in one home. Terry replied to you saying that would be a lot of energy for a Pisces, but you have great stories. That's good. Another Terry said, stepped into the show late, but here I am. Good to be here. Good to have you. Never too late. Greetings to all from Gwen, another Venus in Gemini, 4 degrees right on the midheaven, the moon in Taurus. Help with my work in costumes. Always a new problem. North Node in Gemini. Oh, that's so great. Age is helpful, right, Terry? Thank you. This is explaining a lot to me as I'm a Gemini rising. The Scorpio sun keeps quiet, but the Gemini rising can't shut up. I love it. It's good. Yeah. No, I think, and you know what? The number one sign that hook up together are Geminis and Scorpios. I know so many, and I know so many, but there is an automatic attraction there because Scorpios are deep. Geminis, they don't necessarily need to pry, but Geminis love that depth, and Scorpios need the lightness and the levity. Probably that's one explanation. Let's see. Good morning, Mark and fam. And Marina says that her Mercury and Venus are also at the end of Taurus. Yeah. So you're having all those return right now, Marina. Good morning, Mark and fam. Good to hear your voice with laughter and laughter. South Node in Gemini in the 7th. That's about it. Well, no, that means that your 7th house also has Gemini as a Gemini ruled house. Probably you're a Sag rising, which means that's what you look for in people, that Gemini quality. But the South Node there means you might get bored really quick too. Okay, let's see. And you have to bring in inspiration to those relationships. Like the South Node isn't looking for the inspiration, but the North Node is. Okay. Now, if you look at the chart that I sent from the mailing list, you're going to see all those planets congregated. I mean, tons of planets congregated. Imagine being a child born today or yesterday or during this cycle. Look at all those planets compacted. That brings great focus into a chart. It brings a person with a true focus. Now, isn't focus sort of oxymoronic to the whole point of Gemini? But it does bring the soul purpose into focus. And it's sort of like, I mean, I'm not trying to sidestep what that means, but if you've met these people, you'll see they have a focus. It's sort of like whatever it is. I couldn't even define it. Now, as the sun is at zero Gemini, Venus is at 25. At some point, June 2nd, at some point, Venus is going to catch up. Jupiter's going to go into Gemini Saturday, so that puts it at zero, okay? And at some point, Venus next week is going to hook up with it, and then at some point even sooner, Jupiter and Venus are going to be together, and they're going to be in a very sweet connection with Pluto at 2 degrees Aquarius, the other air sign. I'm telling you, June 2nd, around that time period, if you're planning something, if you want to, whatever you're thinking about, June 2nd, June 3rd, June 4th, June 1st, around those times, and we'll have plenty of time next week to talk about it, I want you to like launch it if you're going to do something. If you have something to launch, if you have something to sign, if you have something to be a part of, that's a gorgeous, gorgeous day. In fact, it'll be fun to hear what's in the news on that day. For those of you with Venus in Gemini or a late degree Taurus like Marina, you're having Venus returns
And let me tell you something. When your Venus returns, when Venus goes to where it is in your chart, the world loves you for a day. You can get away with anything. But get ready, in Gemini, they'll hate you the next day, but they love you for a day. I used to walk down the store every year and a half when my Venus return would hit, and I'd say, y'all go get me some coffee because the world is loving on me today. And I know y'all have to love me too. Obviously, self, like, defeating prophecy because they, I mean, everybody hate me because I was so obnoxious about it. But sure enough, I'd get some love. So something to play with when you're looking at the transits of Venus coming along, then think about this. Think about getting what you want. Think about the love you're putting out on the world. Now we have a full moon coming, and that, you know, I love talking about those. I am a Cancer after all, ruler of the moon. And whenever the full moon comes up, what we feel as we're moving toward this is this, optimism. The world, the moon is getting brighter, right? It's gaining light. It's still waxing, and we're receiving. And that the stage of the full moon, when it's at the brightest, it can really illuminate some, and the sign that it's in is going to matter, and it's going to be in Sag. And I think it's this Thursday. I'm pretty sure it's this Thursday. Get the power peak, go sign up at 12house.com, and sign up for the power peak. You can't miss this. CA did an extraordinary job talking about this, of not only the full moon, but about the Jupiter entering Gemini, which is happening Saturday. So get this. So the sun went into Gemini today. The next thing that's going to happen is a full moon, and it's in Sag. Now, wherever you have Sag in your chart, the issues of Sag come up. And I just talked about a few of them. The feeling of hating the mundane, of hating an ordinary existence, not really appreciating it, needing to feel inspired. This full moon's sole purpose is to inspire you, is to elevate your sense of who you are, what's going on, what you want. That's the sole purpose of this moon is happening Thursday. Now, wherever Sag is in your chart, that area of your life is going to be activated for a full couple weeks as the moon then loses light and we release some of this buildup. But this is the time to start dreaming big, thinking about what you want, thinking about what have you been putting off. I should have waited for the full moon to do this room change. But the fact is, now that we've made the change, I'm starting to love it. I actually have room for the full moon to show up and sort of inspire me. That's what I'm asking of you, is use this moon. And one of the best ways to use it, and I always, it sounds like I'm plugging this, and I am, but I'm not plugging it for selfish reasons. The gratitude board at 12listen.com. You go to 12listen.com. Look under the advisors. Just scroll down on the left-hand side under the advisors. You'll see this thing called the gratitude board. It's in the smallest print you could possibly have. The designer of the website, I could go on, was a Taurus. And everything had to be so small you needed a magnifying glass to see it. I don't know why. Because of this insane idea of what clean looked like. I'm Mars in Pisces. I'm sorry. Far from looking neat. I'll tell you that. I'm clean. I'm just far from looking clean. Okay. So anyway, you scroll down left-hand side. See how easy it is to digress under these Gemini things. And you see the gratitude board. There's a button you click. You just type what you're grateful for. I'm telling you, it gets empowered. I've asked my staff to read them. They scroll. Your name is nowhere to be found unless you want to put it. You're so welcome to, but you remain anonymous otherwise by default. And put what you're grateful for and make it up if you don't have anything. Like, gratitude is the thing. I had an interview this last week. My healthcare provider picked me to have an interview with, and all these people were listening, and it was kind of fun because I felt so important. And he asked, this guy asked, I wasn't important. I'm just telling you, I felt important, but that's how I survive. I think everything makes it important. And so he said, how are you, what are you doing to stay vital? How do you measure your vitality? And I said, the answer to me was curiosity. Am I still curious? Do I still want to know how the hell that works? if I get too lazy and I don't want to know, then I worry for myself. But anyway, that's a Gemini thing. Stay curious. So you go to the gratitude board and you put in there what you're grateful for, and imagine you're hoping for something to happen and it hasn't happened. Put it in as if you're grateful for that having happened. It's my little Gemini trick of fooling the universe. Not really. You're just saying thanks. You're bringing up the sense. You're allowing the experience to happen inside of you so it can get matched outside of you. Okay. I think it's very powerful. So 12listen.com, scroll down the left-hand side, click the gratitude to leave a gratitude. It might be called a gratitude request. I don't know. But to leave your gratitude and then type it. And then my staff will see it scrolling and they'll hold an intent for it. At least they say they promise they do that. I'll remind them. All right. So this full moon, 3 degrees of Sag, check out where it is in your chart. I want you to really think about ritualizing it for yourself because it is a Sag moon. And if this were a Capricorn full moon, I wouldn't say do all the other stuff. This is a Sag moon. We have to fill the fiery need inside of us to be spiritual and to feel connected and to feel the magic. That's what we're looking for. Okay. And that's what you want. All right. I'm scrolling. Sorry. I just saw the little docs and twins. There's so much I miss on the, because I still think they haven't done this right on Facebook. All right. Let's go. All right. One more thing. Let's move into this cycle of Saturday. Saturday, Jupiter will enter Gemini. Now, Saturday could feel a little, you know, Jupiter's a personal planet, but it's a big personal planet. And you have to understand the nature of Jupiter is to, here's the irony. Jupiter is the ruler of Sagittarius. Sagittarius is the sign opposite Gemini. Jupiter, now the sign that rules Sag, is in Gemini, okay? Some astrologers interpret that as a problem, is a mild problem. But basically, it's, you know, I got Jupiter in Virgo, and they're like, Jupiter hates being in Virgo. Well, I don't blame it. I wouldn't want to put all that magnificent power into OCDing about something. So in Gemini, Jupiter is trying to establish a connection, a broad connection of understanding and interpretation. It's trying to elevate the feeling of Gemini to the real connection, the universal connection, the thing that connects all life to itself. Geminis are looking for that connection. When it's in Jupiter, they feel that connection. We feel, and it's going to be there for all of us. It's seeing the bigger picture, like, you ever do that thing, 6 degrees of separation, you know, where you might know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. And if you, at least it'll always go to Kevin Bacon, supposedly. Like, everybody knows somebody who knows Kevin Bacon. 6 degrees of separation. Well, Jupiter in Gemini likes to know what those degrees are with everything. And we're going to be learning that. We're going to be seeing that. We're going to actually pay attention to the news. I mean, a lot is going on. A lot of news, a lot of new information. And I think we're going to get some really breaking stories, like the true breaking news stories, not just the kind that have a nice little red banner under them. We're going to get some interesting news over the past year for sure. But with this full moon combined with Jupiter, absolutely 100%, we're going to have some information that you're going to like. And I think the reason we're going to like it is because it is in Jupiter. I'm sorry for Jupiter. And that's because I'm reloading the page while I'm talking, because I suck at multitasking. I used to think I was so good at it. Somebody said I was cutting in and out. Claudia, if I am, it doesn't look like anybody else is hearing that. Let me see what Lynn said. Okay, good, good. The quality is good for her. Yeah, I'm sorry, Claudia. You can listen, you can download it at some point on demand, and it shouldn't have any problems. Hi, Melissa. Good morning, Mark and fam. Good to hear your voice. Okay, I read this one. Thank you. Hi, Audra. Gemini rules my third, Venus in the 12th in Pisces. Jupiter in the fourth. I love that you all know your charts. That's so sweet. Oh, you're going to have your Jupiter return soon, Audra, in the fourth. I wonder if that's a move for you. Okay, full moon Sagittarius will be in my eighth, says Audra. Okay, that eighth is, it can be, ooh, money from others, intimate sexual relationships, uncovering secrets. We'll see. Thursday, full moon in opposition to Venus conjunct Jupiter. Oh, good, Gwen. Okay. So I'm thinking you're talking about your personal chart, not the one in the sky, because it's also close to the ones happening in the sky. And that's always great. Now, the Magi talk a lot about Jupiter and Venus being together as like a Cinderella aspect, which means you can have these little gifts, like fairy god people coming and giving us what we want. That's why I want you to do your gratitude. That's why I want you to be grateful and wish and hope and bring some optimism up. Because this week, Gemini is anything, when it's playful, it's playful. If you get the depressing side of Gemini happening for yourselves, stay with it. Just make note, like literally get your observer going. This is what depression looks like. I remember not being enthused by anything. I remember, you know, that kind of thing. But if that's happening, make note, because the observer is the clear way to go. Now, next week, we're going to talk about the evolution of these planets as they move forward. Venus entering Gemini. Let's see who else is going into Gemini. Mercury isn't yet. It'll be Venus mostly and Jupiter. And those two are, oh, we're going to have such a good time. They're close right now. So if you are doing anything or planning anything that is going to, I don't know, have a significant hope for yourself or a significant change, this is the time to really just sort of lean into it a little bit, feel it out, and go for it if it feels right. Okay. let me wish all the Geminis a happy birthday. There's so many of you. I know I have a lot of them in my life. I want you to consider, too, if you are a Gemini, using this Jupiter time period, you get a full year, to just see where you're feeling unconnected. See the part of yourself that can connect inside to a dream you have or a hope you have or something you'd like to see expanded in your life. And keep that optimism as much as possible. You're getting supported in doing that, so go with the flow. So if you find yourself like ruminating a little too much about things that maybe don't matter, see if you can get the other voice to go, this doesn't matter. Okay. It's like, move on. Let's do that. And so I want my Geminis to have like an extraordinary year. I know the Tauruses, they struggled a little because Uranus was there, and Tauruses don't like to do anything fast, but they love the changes when they land. They love the difference and they love where it all ends up. And a lot of my Taurus friends, man, I hear the joy in their voices now, but I heard a lot of the pain going through it. Okay. All right. Let's wrap it up. Today, the moon is in finishing up Libra. You're going to see it flip into Scorpio later this afternoon. That's my favorite moon. Whenever the moon's in Libra, that's my 12th house. That's, whew, Lord. I sort of like, it's hit and miss. Sometimes I'm just like, no energy. It's like, I don't want to think. And then sometimes it's like, wow, I'm just so tuned in. So this is a time, as it goes into Scorpio, to get deep, look below the surface of things, clear out some of your old junk and get ready for the inspiration, clear everything that's in the way of you being inspired for this Sagittarius moon. You guys are delightful as always for me. Coming up is Christina LaFrance, followed by Lori Love, followed by Jamie Dawn, and soon to be followed by Serena Leon, a newcomer at One to Listen, who's just sparkling bright. So wait, you'll see for yourself. That's coming soon. In the meantime, we're having a bunch of sales at One to Listen. You can get some true great advice, some really jaw-dropping. I can promise you that'll happen. Give them a whirl. Thank you so much for spending this Monday morning with me and for taking the time out of your busy schedules to turn this show on. We will be on replays on demand at 12radio.com, Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts and Spotify should have me if you miss it or want to share it with somebody. This is Mark Husson. Thanking you guys so much. Happy full moon. I'll be thinking of you. You take care. Bye now.